Underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester, Vermont, and Saratoga, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a master's degree in English with a concentration in literature studies and an MFA in creative writing. strose.edu/gradprograms.
Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. British mystery and crime writer Ruth Rendell, one of the most prolific authors in the genre with more than 60 novels, died at the age of 85 on May 2nd following a stroke in January. We remember her on this week's book show. Rendell produced novels at an astonishing pace, more than 60 books over four decades, including 20 featuring Chief Inspector Wexford. In November of 2014, we spoke with her about her most recent novel, The Girl Next Door. We were unable to air that interview prior to her death, so we air it this week. We talked about the book and about how she thought she'd grown as a writer over the course of her career.
Well, I hope I'm better at it, of course. One always hopes that. I don't know. I think so. I think I may be better at it. I would know if I had, well, declined. And I don't think I have. So I'm glad because I would like to go on writing.
Is it fun? Is it still an enjoyment to work out the puzzle in your head?
Well, it's not an enjoyment to work out the puzzle so much. It's a great enjoyment just to write. I enjoy writing very much. If I didn't, I suppose I would stop. And but I do enjoy it. It's a great thing for me.
One of the things that I read about you when people talk about your work is they say that you often push the reader out of their comfort zone with the psychological books that you write. Is that a conscious decision to make people think?
Yes, I suppose it is. I don't want to write sort of pedestrian stuff, which would be give the impression that I was just writing to keep going. I don't want that. I want to enjoy it, and I want to make people enjoy it too. And that's the main thing, that they should enjoy it and be surprised, perhaps sometimes, be astonished and find it pleasing and be frightened as well sometimes, yes. I know that I can give people suspense and I can frighten them. And I think we enjoy being frightened sometimes, and that's what I do.
What do you think it is about us as a people that we enjoy being frightened? We enjoy allowing you that honor of saying, okay, lay it on us, frighten us.
Of course, I don't really know what it is. There's a lot of things I don't know. But there will be some kinds of being frightened that people don't enjoy. And I don't think I do that for them. There can be a kind of terror. And some books do that. Horror fiction does it and gives them terror. I don't do that. I give them a certain level of fear that they know it isn't going to get any worse, I think. It's all right. It's good. It's pleasing in a way.
As I mentioned, the new novel is The Girl Next Door, and in this novel, which takes place on the outskirts of London, there is a discovery of bones buried in a tin box, which sends shockwaves through a group of longtime friends. Tell us a little bit about the story that you're telling in The Girl Next Door.
Well, I'm telling a story about children who just at the end of the Second World War, found some tunnels in a meadow, a field near where they lived, and they didn't know what they were. In fact, it was many years before they knew, but you could play in them, and they did. and enjoyed that very much until they were turned out of it by an adult. And years later, when they're all old people, they realised that these things, these tunnels, were the foundations of a house that was being built and had to be abandoned because of the war. They didn't know it at the time. And then there, of course, is in these foundations of a house is found this box with the bones of two hands in them. And that they're interested in, of course. They don't know who they belong to, whose they were. And they meet each other again and they renew, rather to their own surprise, old, old relationships and get to know each other again with sometimes rather disastrous results.
It is fascinating when you think of that, of these friends coming together almost six decades later and how these feelings have been so long simmering.
Well, I thought that I wanted this to happen, and that I think that it might happen like this. I hope so, because I do want my readers to read something that they can be convinced that this is real, this could happen to people. It's not fantasy. It could be like that, and that's what they do. And they renew it, and they take up this, in the case of two of these people, a love affair that came to an end when they were, which happened and ended when they were 18. They are now in their 70s. But the love affair blossoms again for a while.
You really are writing about aging in this book. You are writing about our assumptions about age. You're writing about the choices that we make and the emotions behind them, and how the these are as important to these older characters than they are to the ones that you portray in their youth.
Well, I'm old myself, so I think I know about these things. And that's, I wanted to write that. I also want to write about young people and so on. I don't want to commit myself to writing about old people. But I thought that I could do this and see what happened. People might not have liked it, but they did. They do. And I was rather gratified about that. I was glad that they did. I made them, I think, believe, perhaps pleasantly, that people could have love affairs when they were old.
We're remembering Ruth Rendell on this week's book show. Her most recent novel, The Girl Next Door, was published by Scribner in 2014. We talked with her in November of 2014. She passed away at the age of 85 on May 2nd. Your publication history is fascinating because there are all of these standalone books. There, of course, is the Inspector Wexford series. There are the books that you have written as Barbara Vine. Is that a conscious decision as to what you are going to take on at any given time?
I don't plan for the future. I've never done that. Barbara Vine came into being because I had an idea for a book which took me a long, long time before I wrote it, which was quite different from anything I'd done before, I thought. And I thought, well, it'll only be one. But it was very successful, I'm glad to say. And so then I wrote another, and now there are 14 Barbara Vines. The other books, well, I try to make them different. I try to, I think I've said this before, but I don't want to sink into a kind of passive or pedestrian way of writing. I want it to be fresh and as new as I can make it.
Do you think of Inspector Wexford as your legacy in some way to the crime fiction genre, that this is the character you have given us?
Well, you know, I don't really. People ask me if I have been asked if I'm in love with him, which seems to me to be quite ridiculous, of course. But no, I like I quite like Wexford. He's very much like me, of course. He has my own tastes and inclinations and habits and ways of living. And, he's a pleasant companion, but, you know, when I'm not writing about him, I don't think about him very much. I leave that to my readers.
In leaving that to the readers, though, this is a character that has really captured readers. It is a character that they like to read about. I assume it's your most popular character. And I'm curious as to how he was created and what you make of the fact that he resonates with so many people.
Well, of course, when I wrote the first book about him, which was the first book, which was From Doom with Death, I didn't know that I was going to have him as a companion, in a way, for the rest of my life, because I thought it was a one-off. And, of course, he was successful. And then I realised that he wasn't really the sort of person I wanted to live with, and so I made him more literate, more liberal, more sensitive, I hope more interesting, and then I was stuck with him, and that was all right.
Do you think that, as you mentioned, that he's very much like you, so you get to say things through this character that you would like to say?
I do, yes. I let him, he has my principles, my ideals, my feelings of what life should be like. And he is the mouthpiece for these views. Not altogether, not all of them, but to a great extent. If what the things that Wexford says, I would say.
What has it been like to age that character, to bring that character through a career?
Well, it has been a bit, it made me wish that I'd made him younger when I started, of course, because he got to be too old to be a practicing policeman. So I've retired him now. But I rather like that. I like it better, indeed, because I can do exactly what I like with him. And yet he is still somebody who, what should we say, administers the law, but he's freer, of course. He doesn't have to abide by these rules. He can do as he likes, and I rather like that.
To be able to capture us, the reader, and to bring us into the mystery, what you seem to have this uncanny ability to do is to map and understand the criminal mind. Give us a sense of where that comes from, of understanding the psychology of the criminal that you can write in such a convincing way.
Well, of course, I don't know where it comes from. I do know that I can do it, and I don't think that there's any particular gift. What I do is I put myself into the shoes of somebody who would be like that and ask myself, well, what would I do next? How would I behave in this way? And it seems to work, and that's all I can do. I don't have any special knowledge of the criminal mind at all, except that perhaps we all have the power to understand, the ability to understand what the criminal mind is like, if we just imagine it, be in that place, do it. We may not like it very much, because we don't, but I think that we know that we can do it, I can do it, and I can convince people that this person, these characters, are like that.
There's such a complexity to your novels, this one in particular. It's a very complex story. And I made this analogy earlier about the puzzle of it. So the creation of that complexity is something that you want, but obviously that does not come easy as a writer, does it?
I don't find writing easy at all. And I don't want to find it easy, because then I think that I've come to the end. That wouldn't do. I like to take great pains with my writing. I do a lot of rewriting, and I want to work on these characters so that they convince and they have a sense of reality, because they're not real. They are my inventions. But I can convince people that they're reading about somebody, people that they understand, that they know of, and that they can see the point of and understand what I'm doing. And so I work hard at that.
I want to talk to you a little bit about something that we touched on earlier, and that is the psychology of these books, of not only knowing the criminal mind, but being able to tap into us and to our feelings and the psychological nature. How much research went into that of understanding and mapping us a bit, of understanding who we are and the way we react to things?
I read a lot of psychology, and I read the great psychologists, the great psychiatrists. I suppose I read all Freud's work, but I don't read much of it anymore unless I need to look something up. But of course, not exactly an exact science, is it? I think one can think of people one knows, and the strange things they exhibit in their behaviour and in the things they say and do. And I put all that into a book. And that seems to be enough.
And I guess what resonates and what you understand in the books is that we're all a bit odd in our own way.
Oh, yes. People are very strange and weird. They have very odd characteristics. And I try to put that in my book. Why do they do what they do? And I observe them. I listen to them. They don't know that. And I don't think they do anyway, but that is of great interest to me. It finds its way into my next book.
I was struck by something that you said about the listening. I mean, not only are you writing, but you are also listening a lot to people and understanding the human condition and understanding how people feel about a variety of issues. That almost is a journalist trait of listening and being able to apply that to the fiction that you're writing.
Yes, I suppose so. I've always listened to people, and of course I've been writing most of my life, but it seemed to me that when I began that is how I should think, how I should proceed, by listening to people and not, I don't necessarily write it down, but I just think of it and hold it in my mind, in my memory, and bring it out again when I want this character to be, well, to be alive.
We're remembering the life of Ruth Rendell on this week's book show. The British mystery and crime writer passed away on May 2nd at the age of 85. We talked with her in November of 2014 about her most recent novel, The Girl Next Door, published by Scribner. It is safe to say that this novel, like many of your novels, is about consequences of how an act, whether it be an act of violence or of adultery, of a criminal act in some way, that it resonates for a long time. It can resonate for a lifetime.
Yes, it could. And I also think that I would like to think that people also have quite nice things and nice traits and qualities that come out. It's not all bad.
And that
it's
is
not all wicked.
No, and that is something that's fascinating about the books, because they are not all wicked. Is that a balance that you're conscious of, that it doesn't have to be evil all the time, that there has to be, for want of a better term, a levity to it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think, for instance, that the girl next door is full of evil or wickedness. There are a lot of people in it who are quite sincere and well-meaning and do their best to behave themselves, to be good, and others who don't. And I think that some try hard to keep up a kind of high morality, as people do. Some do and some don't. And I try to do that in my novels, that they should show the contrast of character.
We mentioned the Barbara Vine novels earlier, and this was a pseudonym that you have taken up in writing under the name of Barbara Vine. Did that allow you to write a different type of book?
It was because I had an idea for a different type of book that I took that pseudonym, because I didn't want to write as Ruth Rendell and have something different. I wanted it to be a different kind of book. Many people tell me that they don't know why I do it, because it's exactly the same. But you obviously appreciate that they're not exactly the same.
No.
And I've always kept it to that, and enjoyed writing this different kind of book very much.
Is there a mood that strikes you of an issue that you think about that is perfect for that pseudonym and for that different type of book?
Yes, it is. I haven't got such an idea at the moment, but it may come. I rather hope it will, but I have written 14 Barbara Vines, and there may not be any more. I don't know, but if the idea comes, if it comes, I think I will be very excited, as I always am when that happens.
In using a pseudonym, did you want people not to know that it was you?
I never kept my identity a secret. From the first, they knew it was me, because I didn't want that sort of speculation that would go on. And so they knew it was me. It's my second given name, my second Christian name, and the maiden name of one of my great-grandmothers. So it had a sort of feeling that, for me, that it was me. But there wasn't much, there wasn't any speculation, as there certainly would have been if I'd kept it dark. But it worked out quite well. I was pleased.
You have such a rich and an incredible life and success as a mystery writer, and I'm interested in, as being a fan and as someone who has read your work, almost all of your work, both Barbara Vine and Wexford and the standalone novels, that how much do you think in reading the books that you have published, how much do you think we know about you?
That depends on how you read. If you read studying what I say and absorbing it and thinking about it, few people do, I'm sure, but if you do that, you would know everything about me.
It all comes out in some way.
Yeah, it does. I'm very aware of that and rather pleased. I don't think I could keep any aspect of myself a secret because I write so much. It's all there.
And nor do you want to keep it secret.
No, I don't.
Do you use the writing as a way of exploring, to understand why you are the way you are? Back to the psychology, your own psychology.
I don't know. I've never thought about that before, but it may be so. Yes. Yes, I know that when I create these characters and I put them there on paper or whatever we do these days, I am putting a part of myself. And maybe a great deal. There's a lot of myself in The Girl Next Door.
And again, a lot of aging, and so a lot of yourself and a lot of your current self, I assume.
Yes. I don't know whether there's a lot of myself in the past, because, of course, that is something we don't altogether know. What was I like when I was 25? I don't know. I could say that I know, but I don't really remember if I ever knew, but if I did, I'd put it in a book.
British mystery and crime writer Ruth Rendell died at the age of 85 on May 2nd. Her most recent novel, The Girl Next Door, is published by Scribner. We spoke with her in November of 2014. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about the show. You can email us at book@wamc.org. And you can listen again to this or find past book shows at wamc.org. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.